Our Bible reading is taken from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 13. Let love be your guide. I may speak in different languages, whether human or even of angels, but if I do not have love, I'm only a noisy bell or ringing cymbal. I may have the gift of prophecy. I may understand all secrets and know everything there is to know. And I may have faith so great that I can move mountains. But even with all this, if I don't have love, I am nothing. I may give away everything I have to help others. And I may even give my body as an offering to be burned. But I gain nothing by doing all this if I don't have love. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous. It does not brag, and it is not proud. Love is not rude. It is not selfish. And it cannot be made angry easily. Love does not remember wrongs done against it. Love is never happy when others do wrong, but is always happy with the truth. Love never gives up on people. It never stops trusting, never loses hope, and never quits. Love will never end, but all these gifts will come to an end, even the gift of prophecy, the gift of speaking in different kinds of languages, and the gift of knowledge. These will all end, because this knowledge and these prophecies we have are not complete. But when perfection comes, the things that are not complete will end. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, and I made plans like a child. When I became a man, I stopped those childish ways. It is the same with us. Now we see God as if we are looking at a reflection in a mirror. But then, in the future, we will see him right before our eyes. Now I know only a part, but at that time I will know fully, as God has known me. So these three things continue: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. Amen.
We have our a church anniversary again this Sunday, as we already said before. And every year, the plan is to look at a different feature of this church. Last year, we had a look at the columns and the flowers that were brought in by the children at the time for the builders to sculpt the flowers on the columns by. And this year we have a look at the stained glass window about faith, hope, and love, although it has made its way as the word charity here. Stained glass windows, of course, at the time had a real important meaning in the church, because there were a whole lot of people who could not write for themselves. And the pictures that they saw in stained glass windows would remind them of Bible stories. I have always been intrigued by these windows, because the pictures that they depict, and the women, in my mind, would not necessarily remind me of faith, hope, and love. I don't know, can we get the map again, Tom, or not? I don't know where Tom is. Sorry, we won't get them up, don't worry. No. So if people could not read and they were to be guided by these pictures, thank you so much, Tom. It may be that it is some kind of lack in my understanding, but it would not jump out to me as, oh, that is 1 Corinthians 13, that is the Bible passage about faith, hope, and love. So what would they have reminded the people in the church of? These days, the Bible story or the Bible passage is, of course, often used by couples who are getting married. It is one of the great passages that is used at weddings and depicts the love or sets an example for husband and wife to be about how they can live out their life in love, how they can serve each other well, and how, if they follow the example set by the Apostle Paul, their love will stand the test of time. I don't think that at that time this Bible passage was understood in that way, that it was about the love between husband and wife. Rather, I believe it was to remind people about those three virtues: hope, faith, hope, and as it is here, charity. It reminded them to stay strong in faith, to always remain strong in hope, and to practice charity. Of course, charity is quite an unfortunate translation of the Greek into the Latin. Charity comes from the Latin word caritas. And one of the very first Bible translators, Jerome, took the words in the Greek. In the Greek, the word is agape. And realized that it could not be translated in the Latin word amor, because amor has a completely different meaning. And so the closest word he could find in Latin was caritas, which has become our charity, of course. But the meaning of the Greek word agape is completely different. In Greek, there are four different terms used for love, for our word, English word love, and three of them have to do with our natural way of loving. The fourth one, agape, which is used by Paul here in this letter, is the kind of love that exists between God and humanity, and the love that is returned to God by humanity. It is a love that is self-sacrificing. It is a kind of love that does not seek itself. It is the kind of love that gives of itself to love. The kind of love, if you like, that is out of this world, that does not come naturally to us. It comes out of the overflow of the love that God gives to us. And it is connected with Christ and the love that he has for the world. And it is the word agape that is used here by Paul in his letter. Very often, the 13th chapter of the first book of Corinthians is lifted out from its text around it. And you know, I'm getting in the practice of urging you to look this up during the week in your Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible or you have misplaced it, you don't really know on which bookshelf you ever in the past put it, just feel free to take one of the Bibles here at the back of the church, take it home. Don't worry about returning it, just use it at home if you like it. And have a look at the first letter that Paul writes to the Corinthians, because the 13th chapter is sitting in the middle of Paul talking about spiritual gifts, the gifts that we as people in a church receive to work in a church, to serve in a church, to honor God and to worship and serve God. And Paul has described in the previous chapter what the very high gifts are and what the lower gifts are. And he says it doesn't matter what kind of gift you receive from God, whether it is prophesying, or whether you are called to be an apostle, whether you are called to be a teacher or something else, or whether you are called to perhaps one of the things that don't mean so much in the church when you look from the outside in. And he has said, yet all these gifts, whether you are the cleaner of the church, or whether you are the one who makes the coffee, or whether you are the one standing at the lectern preaching the words, we are all needed to build up the church, which is the body of Christ. And it is like our body. You know, the parts that are probably not the most ready to be shown, we treat with extra care. We cover them up, we are careful with them, because all the parts of our body are equally important for us to function as a body. And so Paul says, all the gifts are equally important. But it is okay to pray to have one of the higher gifts. He says that is fine. If you aspire to be a preacher, then pray to God to have that gift. But as you do, he says this, there is a more excellent way. Pray for the higher gifts, but there is a more excellent way. And this is how he goes into chapter 13. The more excellent way is the way of love. Then what is love? Well, Paul first describes what happens without love. And he says, you know, if I have those gifts of speaking in tongues, of being able to speak languages that others don't understand, even if I am able to speak the language of heaven, of angels, but I do not speak them with love, then it's not worth anything. He says, if God gives me knowledge, and not just knowledge about the things of faith and of heaven, but knowledge in the world as well, if God gives me that knowledge and I use it without love, it is absolutely useless. If I have faith so big, and this is faith in God, if my faith is so big that I can do miracles, and we know about Christians who are able to do miracles, but I perform these miracles without love, they are not worth anything. I can even decide that I will give my body to be burnt in the flames so that someone else may benefit from it in some way. But if it isn't done with love, it doesn't mean a thing. Perhaps I give away everything I have to the poor, but it is not a sacrifice of love when love is absent. That is quite a hard message. Because what then does that mean for us today? Well, when we bear in mind that the word love that Paul uses here is the word agape, self-offering in the way that Christ offered himself, if it is that kind of love, then what it means is that without that self-sacrifice, without that seeking some kind of honor for ourselves, our working, our doing, our speaking means nothing. even being a member of a church, being an elder, being a minister. They are empty titles without that sort of love. Being here in church, making music, singing our hymns, dancing, praying, even making our friendships, our giving, in whichever way or form. It doesn't mean that much if we give from a surplus of what we have. It only means something if we give it from the surplus of the love of God that we have found in our lives. The agape way of giving does not need anything in return. It is the kind of love that comes out of the nature of the lover and has nothing to do with the person whom we try to love. An Anglican theologian, O.C. Quick, once said that agape, within the human experience, is only ever going to be partial and undeveloped. In its very pure form, it only comes as a divine love. And he says, if we could imagine the love of one who loves men and women purely for their own sake, and not because of any need or desire of his own, purely desires their good, and yet loves them wholly, not for what at this moment they are, but for what he knows he can make of them, because he made them. Then we should have in our minds some true image of the love of the Father and Creator of mankind. And that is the agape love. And of course, that quote is so closely linked to the text in Romans 5, verse 8. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So how does that look then? What is that love? Well, Paul says it is patient and it is kind. And then he goes into the negative, describing what this kind of love is not. And he says it does not envy. It does not boast. It is not jealous, not proud. It's not envious of the success of others. It is not puffed up. It does not dishonor others so that we can look better ourselves. It does not seek honor for ourselves. It does not seek anything for ourselves. And it does not get angry. It doesn't take offense. It is ready to think the best of people. It does not keep a list of what people have done wrong against us. It does not harbor this sense of injury, this sense of being offended on a personal level. And it does not like evil. But it does like the truth. And that is an important part of it, because it is a reminder that even love cannot rejoice and exist when truth is not there. The truth of God, the real gospel truth, needs to be there for love to rejoice. So it doesn't mean that we never challenge. It doesn't mean that we never say harsh things to each other. But what it does mean is that we move on from there, that we do not keep hanging around at that place. Love always protects. It covers all things. It always trusts and it always hopes. And it always keeps on going. It always perseveres. And it never fails. And of course, this kind of love only happens when we have faith in Jesus Christ. And it is that kind of faith that gives us hope. So these three things, they are the ones that stay. Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of them is love, because love is the essence of all things. All the other things will disappear. You know, the spiritual gifts, all our busyness, the checks that we write out for the church or for our societies or whatever. I see Jim smiling there about the word checks writing out. But all those things, they will disappear. They will stop to exist. The only things that will remain are our faith, our hope, and our love. And Paul uses the image of growing up into the fullness, from a child into an adult. Perhaps, you know, I was thinking about one of the young people I used to work with, and she had been very, very ill when she was a teenager. And she needed, she couldn't walk without crutches. She had to take medication to stay healthy. And she had to see a therapist to deal with all the trauma that she had gone through. But when she grew up, first one crutch disappeared and she could walk with just the other crutch. Then the other crutch disappeared and all she needed was her medication. Then her medication slowly fell away. One by one, she did not use any tablets anymore. And at the end, she did not need to see a therapist anymore either. She grew up into the fullness of the woman that she is now. And all the other things fell away. That is how it will be with us at the end of time, when God's fullness will come about. All the other things will fall away, but love. And from that, faith and hope. Mother Teresa describes how we should give charity in the truest sense of the word. She describes how the agape love truly sits in our life. She says, I must be willing to give whatever it takes to do good to others. This requires that I be willing to give until it hurts. Otherwise, there is no true love in me. It is easy to write a check from our surplus. It is not so easy to give the money that leaves us with not enough to live us of ourselves. It is the kind of giving that Jesus points out at the temple when the widow says, or when the widow gives her last two pennies. And he says, this one is the one who truly gives. Jesus always points to that agape love. Mother Teresa also says, at the hour of death, when we come face to face with God, we are going to be judged on love. Not on how much we have done, not on how much we have given. But we are going to be judged on how much love we put into the doing. If you want to know how to put love into the doing, go and see Jesus. It is the Jesus way of living. It is the Jesus way of loving. And it is the Jesus way of giving. He gave it all, to the point of death on a cross. That is the true sense of agape love. It's only when we have received that kind of love for ourselves in our own lives that we can give out agape to others from the surplus of God's love in our lives.